What's the magical number? Sometimes people ask, what's your favorite number? And you may have a special number that means something to you because of a special date in your life. And in the exercise profession, when you go to see somebody involved with fitness, exercise, nutrition, food, looking good, getting into great shape, there are a bazillion numbers. A number meaning we can't count them because there's too many. So there are some health numbers, there are some body shape numbers, there are certainly numbers attached to food, and there's a massive amount of numbers attached to exercise. So how do we know what are the important numbers? How do we know what are the right numbers for us? And do the numbers really matter? Is it important to count? Is it important to do a certain number of? Is it important to have a certain number of measurement? Is it important to have a certain number when it comes to calories or protein grams or carbohydrate grams? And they're really great questions. So how about we start at the beginning? If you chat to a medical professional, a doctor, there are some important numbers that there's not too much argument about. Sometimes there is an argument about what causes a high or a low number. But if it comes to the important things, and we'll start with the simple one, which is your resting heart rate. For most people, if you have a low resting heart rate, that is a good sign that you are relatively fit, that your heart and lungs don't have to work too hard to keep you alive. They can pump quite slowly. So if you check your resting heart rate, around about 60 is a great number. And is that the right number for you? You'd have to talk to your medical professional. Interestingly, just of late, K-Man had to go and have his medical check done for his life insurance. And when his resting heart rate was checked, it was quite an interesting experience because they sent him off to the cardiologist for a stress test. Not because his heart rate was really high, but because his resting heart rate was really low. And for a man over 50 to have such a low resting heart rate, he sits somewhere between 45 and 50. That is pretty low. So after many tests and poking and prodding and sprinting, the outcome was, oh, K-Man, you're really fit. So be aware that sometimes a doctor will look at a number and think that it's not medically healthy, but it may well be. So a resting heart rate is a great number to check on. And as you get fitter and fitter, your resting heart rate will come down, even if it's only by a few numbers. But as you get fitter, your resting heart rate, the beats per minute when you are at rest, means your heart doesn't have to work so hard because you're really, really fit. Yay! The next one the doctor will probably talk to you about is your blood pressure. And they'll wrap something around your arm and give you some numbers. And this is all about numbers. What do those numbers mean? Well, according to the medical professionals, a healthy blood pressure would be 120 on 80. So it's the pressure that as blood pumps out of your heart, it produces through your body, through the veins and arteries of your body. So that 120 on 80 is quite normal. Obviously, when you go up, the pressure goes up because you're pumping blood and oxygen through those arteries and veins, but the low pressure, the 80 number, it's great if that number stays low. And interestingly, again, I have a very low resting heart rate, resting blood pressure. Sometimes the doctor will say, oh, are you feeling dizzy or do you get dizzy or do you have a challenge with this low resting blood pressure? And of course, my blood pressure goes up very high when I sprint, but sometimes it gets checked and it's, they get concerned because it's low. And the reason for that probably is that when you're really fit, you screw up the numbers. The next one, of course, is BMI or weight. So how much should you weigh? What should your BMI be? And body mass index is an interesting one because obviously there's different heights and weights and sizes, and that is a general measurement of what weight you should be, or that number. So if you're anything over 30, they would call you morbidly obese. However, if you're a bodybuilder and you have a stack of muscle, you may have no fat at all and you may have great resting heart rate and great resting blood pressure, but you have a high BMI. So that's where those numbers can get screwed around. But that's something, again, to chat to your medical professional about. The other one that's important for the inside of your body is what's going on in your veins and arteries. So the medical professionals will want to check your cholesterol and they will want to check your blood sugar levels. Now, the beautiful thing there, if you are fit and strong, is that your blood sugar levels will usually be and always be low, because when you sprint, when you lift heavy, your body uses up that blood sugar, the sugar that's in your blood. It uses it for energy, for your brain to work and for your muscles to work, and you get that those big blood sugar or those big sugar molecules out of your blood very quickly. The reason they want to test those is that those sugar molecules are very big and they can do damage to your arteries. So if you've got high blood sugar levels, it means that the sugar in your blood, the molecules of sugar, are damaging the inside of your arteries, which then of course cholesterol can stick to, which means now you can have clogged arteries, which causes cardiovascular disease, which really is the cause of most illness, sickness, disease. You could have a heart attack because your heart hoses are blocked. You could have a stroke because your brain hoses are blocked. You could go blind because your eye hoses are blocked. Your penis won't work because the arteries to that area or the veins to that area are blocked. And then, of course, there's that horrible thing where they have to cut off your limbs because you don't have great circulation because your circulation hoses are blocked. So those two numbers from the medical professionals, your blood sugar level and your cholesterol levels will probably be something that you may want to get checked on a regular basis. If you're really fit and strong, it's very unlikely that any of those will be a challenge. But if you're the kind of person who likes to know, go find out. Woohoo! Now, everything after that, the numbers after that, become very interesting. So if you have great resting heart rates, so if you have a low resting heart rate, you have a normal blood pressure, you have healthy range of blood sugar levels and cholesterol levels, most doctors would say that you are healthy. Even if you are carrying a lot of weight and perhaps even if you have a high BMI, a lot of medical professionals are sharing now that they would prefer somebody to be overweight but really fit and strong rather than be underweight or the right weight but be inactive. The world's biggest killer disease now is inactivity. So the really exciting thing is if you are fit and strong, that those numbers will pretty much sort themselves out. And if you want to find out, you could be pleasantly surprised. Woohoo! Now, the numbers after that, if you go to an exercise professional, to an exercise facility, there's some numbers that come into play which could become very confusing. So let's work out whether we need to be confused and whether we need to be concerned about the numbers. So the next one, of course, you might want to know your weight, or you may be concerned about your weight. The challenging thing with the weight number, I want to be a certain number on the scales, is it doesn't tell us very much. Yes, it tells us our overall weight. And if you want to lose weight, when you stand on the scales, you weigh less. There are three things, and perhaps four, maybe five, that you don't want to lose weight from. So you certainly don't want to lose weight from your bones. If your bones are wasting away, they will weigh less, but you'll get osteoporosis because you'll have thinning bones. That is the definition of osteoporosis, which of course means that you will become... It's a debilitating disease. It means you can't move around because your bones are too weak. So you don't want to weigh less from your bones. You don't want to weigh less from muscle. Muscle's the engine of your body. It's the thing that burns up the calories, the sugar, the fat. It determines whether or not those blood sugar levels are high, because if you have strong, healthy muscles that burn up sugar, you'll have no challenge with that killer, major killer pandemic disease, which is type 2 diabetes, which really is that artery challenge, that cardiovascular disease. So if you have a look at the really healthy people in the world, the ones that are active, they don't get sick, they feel fantastic, they look fantastic, are they concerned about their weight? And it seems to be a challenge with weight, that you may get to the right weight but still not like what you see in the mirror. Or you may love what you see in the mirror, stand on the scales and be unhappy because you are not a certain weight. So be really aware that being healthy is having strong muscles and bones. You don't want to lose weight off your muscles and bones. You obviously don't want to lose weight off the off your body organs. You don't want a lighter liver or a lighter heart or a lighter pancreas or a lighter spleen. You want them to be healthy, fit and strong. So we don't want, oh, well, I lost weight off my spleen, or I lost some weight off my kidneys. I had a kidney transplant and they took one out, so now I weigh less. Of course, all of that's horrible. So when you stand on the scales, the weight weight doesn't tell you what weight it is and whether or not you're healthy or even what you look like. It just gives you a number on a machine. The last one to be concerned about, of course, is your water weight. You don't want to lose weight from water, because when you're dehydrated, your brain doesn't work. In fact, your whole body doesn't work. And as you are, I'm sure you're aware of athletes who make weight for their sport, they don't feel good. And as soon as they can drink again, they do. So you don't want to weigh less from water. And you can lose a lot of weight from getting rid of the water out of your body by sweating it out, peeing it out, or both. And then the interesting one is that each gram of carbohydrate holds 3 grams of water. So if you lose weight from cutting out carbohydrate, you also lose weight from water. So you'll definitely weigh less on the scales, but it doesn't mean that you'll have less wobbly bits. And it may not even mean that you are a smaller size. It just means you have no energy because your brain runs on carbohydrate. So there's some of the things to be concerned about with weight. However, a lot of people, their life is driven by determined. The happiness of their life is often determined by the number on the scale. So if that's you and you love to regularly weigh yourself, then be aware that perhaps this question, pick a weight that you're really happy with and stay that way for the rest of your life. Being aware, however, that if you are not really fit and you're not really strong, that your muscles will waste away. So you may weigh the same on the scales, but you may be replacing your strong muscles, your energy burning muscles, the engine of your body, as it wastes away. If you still weigh the same weight, you may have replaced that muscle weight with fat weight, which of course looks different, and fat is twice as big as muscle. I'm just going to say that again. If you have 1 kilogram of muscle and 1 kilogram of fat sitting on a table, that would be interesting to look at, wouldn't it? The fat is twice as big. So if you weigh the same, but you are now more fat than muscle, you will be a bigger person. You'll weigh less, but you'll be a bigger person. So the weight thing's really interesting. So a lot of people then have said, okay, well, I don't care what I weigh then. I care how much I wobble. So it's not weight, it's wobble. So then there's this beautiful invention called the body fat test. So I want to keep my muscles. I want to keep my bones. I want to keep my organs, my hair, my skin, my nails. I want all of those to be heavy, but I don't want to be heavy from fat. So how can I test my fat? And there's lots of different ways to test body fat. A simple pinch test where you can buy a pair of calipers for around about $50. And there's body fat testing machines now where you can spend $50,000 on a body fat test or the machinery to test body fat. And once again, it's a number. They'll give you a number. You have 25% body fat or 13% body fat or 50% body fat. And that just simply means that of your entire weight, that is the percentage of fat on your body. Now, the interesting thing there is could you do that with a mirror without having to have somebody pinch your, and I find it incredibly invasive, and having been an exercise professional all of my life, one of the things I used to hate doing, or people hated me doing it to them, was pinching their fat. Imagine going to a place you've never been to before, meeting somebody you've never met before, and have to lift up your clothing and have them pinch your wobbly bits. Not a nice experience for a lot of people. So if you are in a facility where that's a normal part of what you do, perhaps ask the person, would you prefer me to pinch your fat? Or how about this? What if you, on your own, and this is just a simple body fat test, you go into your private bathroom, private bedroom, stand in front of your private mirror, take your clothes off, hang on to the bits that are meant to wobble, and jump. And excess body fat will wobble. And if you do that, say, once a month at the same time of the day in the same mirror with the same lighting, it might be really obvious that if you're getting fitter and stronger, that wobble is coming down. The amount that you wobble is becoming less and less. Another great way to do that is if you're sprinting on the spot. If you've got excess wobbly bits, you'll feel them wobbling around as you get fitter and stronger and you decrease those wobbly bits. If you sprint on the spot, you'll feel less wobble. Woohoo! So you could get test a number for your percentage of body fat, or you could do the wobble test, which means you don't need to know about the number. The next one, of course, is measurements. People talk about, I want to have a 14-inch arm or a 34-inch or 32-inch waist, it usually is. I want my hip measurements to come down. I want my inner thigh measurements to come down. And once again, the challenge with that is if you're losing muscle, your size measurement will come down. But so will your metabolism and so will your ability to burn fat and sugar and calories, and your energy and your ability to be active will also come down. So a lot of people go on a diet and they lose size, but that size hasn't come from fat. They're still really wobbly, but they've lost muscle tissue. One of those, it's just an awareness thing. There are some women, for example, who are very thin, but they're still very wobbly. They still have that interesting term called cellulite, where they have lumpy fat on their body. When you are really fit and really strong, your body becomes a fat-burning machine. You maintain your muscle, which means you maintain that lean, sleek size of your body, but you get rid of the lumpy bits that are the bigger bits. And that's the interesting thing that I'll share again about fat. It's a big substance. Muscle is small, it's tight, and it's lean, and it's sleek to touch, whereas fat, of course, is soft to touch. So measurements are an interesting thing, and you could get measured, and you'll get a number. Again, you'll get a waist measurement number, you'll get a chest measurement number, you'll get an arm measurement number, and you may want those numbers to come down. A couple of things, again, to take note of is that there are some numbers that we can't change. So how tall we are, unfortunately, if your bones are wasting away, you actually get shorter. So you don't. That's the only area where you may get shorter as you get older. And that's not very nice because you don't want your bones to waste away, because that gives you that debilitating disease called osteoporosis. But the width of your shoulders, the width of your hips, the length from the tip of your shoulder to your hip bone, or hip bone to your foot, or the full length of your body, they're all things that we can't change. There's no diet or exercise program on the planet that will give you broader or thinner bones this is the size of my body. So there's some of the measurements that we can't change. What we can change is the amount of fat that sits on the top. And yes, you can get it tested with a body fat test, or yes, you can do the wobble test. One of the great things about not getting measured, because being measured is almost as invasive as getting your fat pinched. And once again, one of those things that I really didn't enjoy doing for people because they didn't enjoy it was measuring them. So it's also pretty inaccurate too, by the way. What I love is pick an article of clothing, something that you, because the clothes size doesn't change, your body changes, the size of your body may have less fat on it, but the clothes don't change. So pick an article of clothing that you love wearing, or you look good wearing, or that you would love to wear, and once a month, in the privacy of your own bedroom, in the privacy of your own mirror, stand in front of the mirror and try on that article of clothing. And that article of clothing will tell you the truth. It'll either get really loose, or it'll still be tight, or it'll get tighter. And that's pretty much telling you what's going on with the size of your body without having to get measured with a number. So there's just some things to consider about what I look like. And could it be, and this is just a personal thing because I want people to feel fantastic, could it be the ultimate feeling to look good in the mirror? And I always call it feel good in the shower. When you're soaping yourself in the shower, you can feel that your body is getting tighter. It's getting harder to touch. It feels leaner. And we all know that if we've put on some squidgy bits, when you soap yourself in the shower, you'll certainly be able to feel them. So what do you look like in the mirror, and how do you feel in the shower? Could be two great measurements without having to put a number on it. So the next area to have a look at, of course, is food. And there are a lot of numbers attached to food. How many calories you should eat, how many times of the day you should eat, how many good servings of food you should eat every day versus you should never have bad servings of food, how many glasses of alcohol, and they're all numbers. Interestingly, with food and alcohol and all kinds of beverages, anything we consume to put into our body from that is edible or drinkable, we all have different opinions, we have different ideas, and we have different tastes. And that's where it becomes really interesting, because people tell you what you can and can't have and how many servings of that you have to have. And if you don't like it, my question is always, why would you waste? And when I say calories, our body needs a certain number. There's that number of calories to live every day. It's called your metabolism. And if you're at rest, it's called your base metabolic rate. as you're moving around during the day, you will be burning calories. So your current metabolic rate is how many calories you're burning at the moment. And of course, then there is your respiratory quotient, which is where are those calories coming from? And could that be different for everybody? If somebody says you need a certain number of calories, and that's a common statement, you should eat this number of calories for your body size and your body type and your body weight, you should eat this many calories, or whether you're male or female. Well, the challenge there, of course, is does that person know how much muscle you've got versus fat? Have they done any kind of test to know that for sure? Do they know what your current metabolic rate is? Do they know how active you are, which would determine, of course, your metabolic rate? Yeah, when they know how much muscle you have, that could determine your metabolic rate. But then, of course, how many times do you sprint during the day, which, of course, increases your metabolic rate? And that is really different for everybody. So for somebody to tell you need this number of calories and you need this number of grams of carbohydrate, protein, fat, and alcohol is also a macronutrient. Now, interesting, there are some heart foundations around the world that recommend 1 to 2 glasses of alcohol. That's a number, 1 or 2. If you don't drink, that's a silly number because you don't drink. So that's just, we just cancel that out. If you prefer to drink more, and I certainly am aware of many people who drink more than 2 glasses of alcohol every day, and they live a perfectly happy life and they're not overweight and they're not alcoholics, they just really enjoy their alcohol. And there's an interesting question to ask there. Does your metabolism, how much muscle you have, how energetic you are, how active you are, how much sprinting you do throughout the day, could that determine how fast you metabolize alcohol? And could we metabolize alcohol at different speeds? And the reason we know that's true is that there are some numbers in relationship to drink driving, for example, where you can have X number of drinks per hour. For me, if I had one drink, I definitely could not drive. I would be drunk because I don't drink. I would be very impaired as a driver. So that number doesn't work for me. And there are other people, and of course, this is not a suggestion, but there are certainly other people who drink more than what the required number is. And if you give them a test, you'll find that they are quite capable of living their life normally. So there's an interesting thing there with the numbers on alcohol. Put that to the side. Now the big arguments come. How much carbohydrate, how much protein, how much fat? They're the other 3 macronutrients. And there are some very distinct guidelines from the world experts who determine how much protein muscles need, how much fat a person could require to have healthy organs and be insulated, because that's what fat does for us, and to make sure that our hair doesn't fall out. And we store 1/2 kilo of carbohydrate roundabout. So you want to, if you want to keep that carbohydrate store full and you're an active person, there's a certain number of carbohydrate grams that you should be eating, according to the experts. The challenge with that, of course, is there are a lot of people who are eating more or less of those. There are some people who absolutely proclaim loudly that you do not need to eat any carbohydrate at all. There are people who believe that your body can turn fat into what your brain can run on, and it's called that ketosis diet, where your body turns fat into ketones, which then turns into glucose for your brain to run. So there are some people that believe you don't need any carbohydrate at all. You just need to eat fat, meat and fat. There are other people, if you counted the carbohydrate grams that they eat, around about 90 to 95% of what they're eating comes from carbohydrate. They're really fit, they're really strong, they have a really fast metabolism, and they want to keep their 1/2 kilogram of carbohydrate store full. So they're constantly eating carbohydrate, fruit, vegetables, bread, cereal, lollies. They just keep eating carbohydrate. So what's going to work for you? And with food, I always go to the 4 questions, I think, are the most important thing, because we all like and dislike different foods. We all want to eat at different times. We want to, and I'll just cover that off quickly. There are some people that suggest that we only eat once a day or once every second day, and there are some people that suggest we eat 4, 5, 10 times a day. Here's the question. Do you have a stack of energy and maintain it throughout the day? Question 1, energy. Number 2, do you perform at your top level? Number two is performance. In everything that you do, do you perform at 100% energy level, effort level? You feel good all the time. Number three, do you love what you, and as I shared, what you see in the mirror and what you feel in the shower? So the way your body looks and feels to look at and to touch, do you love that? And number four, do you love the results that you're getting from your eating and exercise plan? If the answer is yes to all of those, whatever you're doing is working, congratulations, keep doing it. And you may be completely off the charts with what the medical experts are suggesting for percentage of carbohydrate, protein, and fat. You may be off the charts for how many times to eat. You may be off the charts for how many calories you should be eating. When you meet some of those people that are really active and they're eating 10,000 calories a day and they're really lean and they just keep eating and eating and they just keep being lean, those people that a lot of other people hate, that's called a fast metabolism. And that comes from, yes, a little bit of genetics, of course, but that comes from being active. It comes from having a brain that's on fire. So your brain runs on glucose. So you're thinking really deeply and constantly. We all have different metabolisms. That number, how many calories does your body need, is different for everybody. And so is the percentages of carbs, protein, and fat. And it's interesting because there are some very strict guidelines on that. Your muscles only need, your body only needs this much of everything. But as I shared, there are many people who live completely outside those numbers and they're really happy. So that's something that you need to work out, manipulate, change, figure out for yourself. If you don't have any energy, where do you start looking? And some people might say, well, you need iron, or you need more carbohydrate, or you need to eat more fat, and they wouldn't know that unless they gave you a blood test. So that might send you back off to the doctor again for a medical professional to blood test and say, yes, you're lacking in iron, or yes, you're not getting enough carbohydrate, etc. So for somebody to tell you percentage of macronutrients, they would need to know a lot more about you than just blandly stating this is what you need. So food's an interesting one. And I always put a couple of numbers on food. Eat when you love it. Eat because you love it, eat for peak performance, and eat for pleasure. They're my four things. So there's my number four. Eat for pleasure, eat for performance, eat because you love it, and eat when you love it. Woo! Now exercise. There's a lot of numbers on exercise. How many times a week should I exercise? How many times a day should I exercise? How many exercises should I do? How long should I go for? How many minutes? How many hours? How many days? How many exercises of each one? So if I pick an exercise, how many of each exercise should I do? What's the optimal number of exercises? The numbers keep going. If you go to an exercise facility and you talk to a person involved with exercise, numbers are going to come up. So are those numbers important? And I always like to go to the anatomy and physiology of the human body, because those anatomy never changes. It's a set science, and physiology is pretty much set. There's a little bit of argument, but most people don't argue about the fundamentals of physiology. So when it comes to exercise, how many days a week should I exercise? There's some standard responses from the medical professionals. There's a large body of evidence to show that if you do anywhere between 100 to 150 minutes a week of moderate activity, that you have long-lasting effect from a health benefit from exercise. The beautiful thing there is what exercises, and the heart and lungs are blind, your muscles and bones are blind. They just respond to overload. So if you move, and if you overload your heart and lungs, you overload your muscles and bones, you'll get fit and strong. Now, the really important thing here, though, with the numbers, the harder you exercise, the shorter the number comes. I love that because a lot of people hate exercise. So if you exercise really hard, the amount of time that you need to invest into your exercise becomes less and less. But for me, the overall question is really important. How often do you want to feel good? So the long-term benefits of exercising 3-4 times a week is that you'll have a healthier body long-term. But when do you want to feel good? And of course, when you sprint, when you lift heavy, when you put high intensity activity through your body, you pump happy drugs into your brain. Just to get your body moving really hard and fast, you have to pump adrenaline, noradrenaline, norepinephrine, brain-derived neurotropic factor. You'll have the reward drug dopamine pumping into your brain. You'll have endorphins pumping into your brain. You're going to feel good. So my question is, how often, that's the number, how often do you want to feel good? And for me, of course, I share loudly, it's every day and not just once a day. I want to feel fantastic every single day, all day. So my number is 4 puffs an hour. I live my life where around about every 15 minutes, and my body's in that process now of every 15 minutes getting puffed. Go as hard as you can, and there's no number attached to that. A lot of sprint programs, a lot of interval training programs have a number. You need to sprint for 30 seconds or sprint for 15 seconds and then have 35 seconds off, or sprint for 20 seconds and have a minute off. I don't know how they work that out because everybody's different. I like my 10 seconds. There's two reasons. If you have a look at the energy timeline, we have a phosphate system, a lactate system, and an aerobic system. Once you go past the 10 second mark, which is the phosphate system, you go into the lactate system, which is often called the green zone. And the green because it makes you feel sick. When you pump lactic acid into your body, it gives you that bit of a sick feeling. So if you sprint really hard for 20, 30 seconds, you start to feel a little bit green. Now, as you get fitter, that goes away, of course. But what I love to do is stay in that phosphate system. So my number's 10 seconds. I go as hard as I possibly can, but I don't do it for 10 seconds. That's just my point. I don't look at the clock. I hate clock watching when I exercise. I just go as hard and fast as I possibly can, and I can actually feel my body tap into that lactic system or lactate system, and that's when I back it off, get my breath back, and go again. And how often do I do that? I do it 4 times an hour because I want to be feeling fantastic all day long. Every time you get puffed, you're going to pump happy drugs into your brain. So number one, how many times a day do you want to feel good? For me, it's every day, all day. And you're going to work that out for yourself. How many times a day, a week, do you want to feel fantastic? And of course, exercise makes you feel fantastic. How many exercises should you do? The beautiful thing is that if you get your heart pumping, and you can do that by anything that you love to do that makes you puffed. So it might be dancing around the lounge room. It might be doing your martial art, playing sport, climbing trees, running up and down the driveway, running through soft sand, running up and down some stairs. You might be a cardio machine fan. So you like a cross trainer or a treadmill or a bike or a rowing machine. It doesn't matter. You don't need to do a certain number of exercises. Your heart and lungs, your respiratory and cardiovascular system will respond to overload. So if you get puffed, you're going to get fit. So if you choose how many times you want to feel good and then do something that's going to get you puffed. And again, you don't have to be concerned with the numbers. Just go as hard as you can. When you get your breath back, go again, or go as hard as you can and then another time during the day, go as hard as you can. The beautiful thing is you don't get sweaty because it's only 10 seconds and you're turning your body into a fat burning machine. And the number that excites me there is that we only store half a kilo, that's the number, half a kilo of carbohydrate. When you sprint, when you put high intensity activity through your body, when you lift heavy things, your body only runs on carbohydrate. It has to use carbohydrate for your brain and your muscles. So as you become fitter and stronger, your body says, I want to conserve that half kilo of carbohydrate for when she makes me sprint and lift heavy. The rest of the time, I would like her to burn fat because everyone has an unlimited storage of fat. Or if you don't have a storage of fat because you're a lean person, it means you can then eat more. Yay! So if you love food like I do, that's very exciting news. So the number is half a kilo of carbohydrate. The interesting number is 40 to 50 billion fat cells on the human body. I don't know who counted them, but apparently that's the number. Now, they can be full or empty, and I prefer empty to full. How about you? And the sad thing about a fat cell is that if it gets really full, it can actually explode and turn into another fat cell and keep getting bigger. And that's when those wobbly bits on your body become bigger and bigger and more, and we become bigger people, and we also become really unhealthy. Our blood sugar levels go up, our cholesterol levels go up, our chances of disease go up, and I hate all of those numbers. How about you? So when you're really fit, Your body becomes a fat-burning machine and it saves that half a kilo of carbohydrate so that you can use it for when you're sprinting. So find something that you love to do. Get puffed, wait till you get your breath back. And that's different for everybody. To push somebody into a number system, because when you're sprinting, you don't want to go again until you've got your breath back, because otherwise you'll just be going at 3/4 of an effort or half an effort. You've got to wait completely. And I always use the analogy, when you flush the toilet and the number two didn't go away, if you keep pressing, there's not enough pressure in the cistern of the toilet to get rid of that number two. So it's only a half pressure flush. Your cardiovascular system is exactly the same. When you get puffed, wait till you get your breath back and all of those chemicals go back to normal so that when you go again, you can fire at top pressure. If you want to get rid of that number two out of the toilet, you need full pressure. If you want to get really fit, every time you sprint, you want to be at full pressure, not half pressure. So that's pretty exciting. When it comes to strength training, that's when the numbers just go berserk. How many exercises, how many sets, how many reps, how many days a week? There's over 600 muscles in the body. Do we need to do 600 exercises? Here's a great thing to consider. The more muscles you use, there's the number, the more muscles you use at the same time, the more you fire every part of your body, your central nervous system, your hormonal system, your cardiovascular, skeletal, everything fires at full effectiveness when you use as many muscles as you can at the same time and you lift as heavy as you possibly can. And of course, when you do that, you can't do very many. Now, there's a number system there and you often hear 3 sets of 10. I always ask why. What if you do 11? What if you only can do 9? What if you do 4 sets? What will happen to your exercise program? Will you screw it up? None of that makes any sense to me. And interestingly, the physiology of the human body, that doesn't make sense either. Muscles and bones get strong when you overload them and they're blind and they can't count. So keep going till you can't do any more. And if you think you can't do any more, maybe do one more. Because the psychologists and the neuroscientists will tell us that that's where brain strength comes from. Every time you do something when you think you can't do any more, that's when you get stronger mentally. So you lift as heavy as you can, you lift it safely, you fire up as many muscles and bones at the same time as you possibly can. Keep going till you can't do any more. And if you think you can't do any more, try for one more, half or one more. And interestingly, how many exercises is that? If you want to use every single muscle in your body, you really only need to do 1 or 2, maybe 3 if you want to stretch it out and be in. It's not even an extra mile person. Once a muscle's been overloaded, once you've worked it to its full capacity, now you've got to give it a rest. It's called super compensation. When you lift something really heavy, you put little micro tears in the muscle fiber. Those micro tears have to heal. They have to recover and then they super compensate, woo, which means they get stronger. And that time frame, because often you'll hear train 3 times a week, train 5 times a week, nobody knows that number either, because it's called strength training for a reason. When you get stronger, you know that your strength training's working. Get stronger. I train to get stronger. So when I'm stronger, I know that it's working. So if you go back and train and you're not stronger, if you can't lift something heavier, whether it's a kilogram heavier or 100 grams heavier, it doesn't matter. The idea is to keep getting stronger. So you keep going till you can't do any more. Do one more if you can. And around about, and here's a number that you could keep in your headspace. If you do more than 20, you're going to get bored to tears. It just becomes boring. So anytime you can do an exercise, and that's the interesting thing, there's over 600 muscles in the body, and some people think that different muscles, or they'll tell you that different muscles need different numbers. So they'll tell you to do 6 to 8 reps on your legs, but you need to do 400 sit-ups. Of course, that doesn't make any sense. If you can do an exercise more than 20 times, apart from being bored, you're now in the wrong energy system. You're not in the energy system that fires up the endocrine system, fires up the central nervous system. So if you can do more than 20, you've got to put the weight up. And your number might be, you might go, well, 20 is too high for me. I get really bored by the time I'm at 10. So if you can do more than 10, put the weight up and work that out for yourself. And just watch your body get stronger and stronger. Feel your body getting stronger and stronger. And the numbers become very exciting because whatever you're lifting will go up. So whether it's kilograms on a dumbbell, a barbell, or a machine, whether you lift more buckets of sand, you lift heavier logs, you lift heavier wheelbarrows full of gravel, you lift more books in your gym bag, doesn't matter. If you're getting stronger, you'll be able to lift heavier. So let's wrap all of that up. From an exercise point of view, get puffed to sprint till you can't go any further and then get your breath back. Completely get your breath back and then go again and do it as many times as you can fit into your lifestyle. How long should I exercise for, Rowie? The answer is, how long have you got? If you've got 5 minutes, do it for 5 minutes. If you're on holidays and you've got an hour, then go for an hour. Sprint, walk, sprint, walk, sprint, walk. It doesn't matter. And that's the beautiful thing about exercise. The amount of time you have got to exercise is the best amount of time to put in an effort. So sprint, have a rest, and do it whenever you possibly can. From a strength training point of view, 1, 2, maybe 3 exercises. One time a week is plenty. It might be 2 times a week if you don't lift very heavy. But the question is, we should all be lifting as heavy as we can so that we keep getting stronger. Because strong muscles and strong bones mean a strong, active body, a fast metabolism, a disease-fighting machine, because your immune system is built inside your bones. So if you've got really strong bones, you're also going to have a really strong immune system. You will fire up your endocrine hormonal system, which means you'll be in control of your hormones, not the other way around. So the numbers, who cares? If you are inspired and excited by numbers, go for it. But please know that you don't have to have numbers controlling your life. How about if you're fit and strong, the medical numbers will figure themselves out. If you've got a stack of energy and you love the way you look and feel and you're performing at your top level and you're getting the results that you want, then whatever calories you're eating and percentages of macronutrients you're eating, that's all working for you. And if you're really strong because the numbers of the weight keep going up, then all of those things could probably figure themselves out. And of course, if you're really fit, you're going to be pumping happy drugs into your brain on a regular basis because you want to feel good on a regular basis. So be excited about the numbers if you are. Don't be concerned about the numbers if you're not. And there might be 2 or 3 numbers that you pick that you go, yes, I want my ability to sprint really hard, that number to go up. I want my weight, the number of kilograms on my weight bar to be going up. I want my clothes size to be going down or the same. And I want the amount that I wobble to be less. And you just work out for yourself which numbers are really important to you. And the beautiful thing from a health perspective is if you're really fit and strong, it's very unlikely that you'll have any challenges with your blood pressure, with your resting heart rate, with your cholesterol levels or your blood sugar levels because you're fit and strong. Woohoo! How awesome does that sound?